This is an Enterprise Times podcast. I'm here with Evan Goldberg, EVP of Development at Oracle NetSuite. Hello, Evan.
Hi.
In this morning's keynote, you identify five keys to growth that technology can help deliver: automation, insights, control, and agility and collaboration. One of those, agility, you demonstrated with the reinvention of some fairly significant functionality such as Suite Tax, Suite Commerce, and Suite Agility. Are there other areas that you think need reinventing within NetSuite, or you're working on to do so?
We made some of these decisions several years ago, and a lot of them are now coming to fruition. These are some of the most critical areas of NetSuite. So when you talk about our new UI framework, our new analytics, our new commerce, and that's encompassing a quite broad swath of what we do. So no, I don't know that there's any big ones, but we're 20 years old. We hope to be around for many more decades. I'm sure others will arise, but we've really chosen carefully the areas of the product that we think we needed to reinvent to sort of have the next generation NetSuite, but done in place, so you don't have to do another ERP upgrade.
The last of those keys, collaboration. What is NetSuite doing within the application? I mean, Suite Social was launched several years ago, but it's rarely talked about nowadays.
We try a lot of things, and I think that social as a sort of generic tool in business applications was tried, and there hasn't been a ton of traction on that. So we've gone the direction of trying to find individual workflows and use cases where collaboration is really important, like we showed the engineering change order today, which is a document that needs to be shared and comments need to be shared, and putting the commentary and the discussion within those, the actual context of the business transaction, on a use case by use case basis, and finding out where the really important communication points exist in your business processes and using the business records to accomplish that in a more structured way than you would out of email or a general purpose social tool.
You launched Suite Analytics and the Intelligence Suite today, or announced it today. It's interesting because you seem to have changed the methodology from acquiring a business like OpenAir to acquiring a business and using the internal IP of the people to develop Suite People to now developing stuff purely internally almost. Is there a reason behind that? What are the advantages?
I wouldn't say that we're moving away necessarily from doing acquisitions. There has been a slowdown in that, but I certainly wouldn't never say never in that regard. There's certain areas of the product where we think we have the expertise already because we've done it before, for example, which is a really good way to make sure you do it right, do it a second time. It certainly is true that we have moved towards rebuilding everything within NetSuite because our customers are sort of a self-selected group of people that expect everything to work really, really well together, and that's the best way to do it. Many of the things we showed today are so fundamental that we feel that our core people need to be the ones that are redoing them. But in the future, I can certainly see some areas, especially in vertical areas, where we'll need expertise from other companies for us to be able to execute.
You're increasing R&D spend, you announced, over the next year. I think the largest ever increase. Are you going to be spending that on more of the same, such as international growth? There's talk about other verticals, but where else are you looking to spend it?
Certainly there's more to do internationally. The vertical effort is going to expand. We're going to want to be able to take on new verticals, and that definitely takes people. So those are definitely two areas that some of those increased resources will go. I think as we learn more about how intelligence can work effectively for our customers, it's going to be necessary for us to supplement teams to give them more resources to integrate data science into their features, because really everything we're doing in the Intelligence Suite is really about just exposing and surfacing assistance and intelligence in context. And it's really the responsibility of the teams rather than some centralized, all-knowing AI engine to do things all over the suite. We're going to really lay responsibility on the teams. How does this work within the context of your users? What kind of information do they want surfaced? How do they want to surface it? How can we make sure that it's actionable and timely, relevant, and that it's actually accurate? It is really following through on the themes of today is where the investments of the next 12 months are going to go.
You're inferring that you need to employ the vertical experts and the data scientists aligned with those vertical experts.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think the best intelligence is going to come by teaming those people up and combining the industry or vertical expertise with the art, as I talked about, of how to use these very, very powerful tools that we have at our fingertips now for the first time ever, most effectively.
That's Asim leveraging the Oracle AI.
There's lots of resources out there for machine learning, and there's a lot of opportunity for us to explore. And that's what we're doing. With a steady cadence, you're going to see things exposed each version, more things exposed within the various parts of the product to help users with a variety of interactions and insight, other aspects of intelligent suite that I talked about today.
And if you didn't have the business pressures that are put on you in terms of your role, where would you want to spend it in terms of what would excite you most to spend it? Where would you be most interested to spend it?
These projects that we've taken on, reinventing our UI framework, reinventing how we do analytics, reinventing how you customize records, that is where I want to spend it. The great thing about joining Oracle is that they believe in the long-term vision of NetSuite. Mark has made it very, very clear that NetSuite's going to exist forever. And with that time of horizon, obviously we don't want these things to take forever, but it does give us the freedom to really build something that'll last and be durable for many more decades. We've got 2 decades under our belt. We don't want to have many more.
You put on stage the Intelligent Insights, and the inference was that it was customizable in terms of the suite commerce area so that companies could customize the search engine within their commerce sites to draw out specific areas of importance within the machine intelligence. Can you just expand on that a bit?
What's important and prioritized to businesses differ. Some businesses will prioritize moving their most profitable goods. Some businesses will prioritize limiting how big their warehouse has to be and pushing overstocked items. These are sort of dials that the website manager can turn that will affect how we prioritize things within the search results. At the end of the day, they still have to be good search results. That they're really relevant to the user is always job number one. But within that constraint, the ability to customize how we prioritize these various business criteria for ranking items is going to be something that users will be able to choose.
One of the things around some of the announcements on stage, and we saw it with Suite People, is they're not necessarily internationally available. And as NetSuite grows internationally, there will become an expectation, I feel, that companies will expect all of the functionality to be available to them immediately. What's holding that back, and how are you hoping to change that?
You asked before where we're going to be expending resources, and that's definitely an area to supplement these teams so that they can have more synchronized release. Different products are more or less complex in terms of getting the international support. Obviously, with Suite People, there's a lot of compliance issues. But with Suite Commerce, you also have support for shippers, support for payment gateways. In other areas of ERP, we're leading with international. In fact, some of the features that are coming out in our next release, 2-stage payments and auto cash, the U.S. version may come out second because they're actually being driven potentially by European markets or Asian markets. Depending on different parts of the product, you're going to see the different cadence in how we reach the international market. But definitely shrinking the amount of time from U.S. release to worldwide release is an important initiative for us over the coming years.
You've achieved a lot in the last year. What's going to excite you in the next year in your role?
We are going to add a lot of people to the team, and I always find that exciting. We showcased a couple of new people on the team. Our team has had incredible resilience and staying power, and I'm working with pretty much all the same people I was working with before the merger. So really, a lot of these new people have been incremental, but it's great to get new blood, new ideas, people that are willing to come in and learn about what we do, but then question some of the things that we do. It's definitely what keeps you vibrant. So I'd say this kind of burst of hiring is going to be very exciting over the next year.
And from the technology, probably the Oracle technology point of view?
Just from a pure infrastructure perspective, I'm excited by the opportunities to take advantage of some of these cutting-edge Oracle database features, the pluggable database, things like that. I think that's going to provide some great performance enhancements to our users. The next generation JavaScript, I'm a developer at heart, and having these new language features like classes, which seems pretty basic to me, but also some of these other more sort of cutting edge features in JavaScript, and they're continuously improving JavaScript, and we're going to be keeping up to date with that. That's been a personal mission of mine to make that happen.
Do you still get your hands dirty?
I do. There's a feature that's coming out in the next release that I did some work on.
I know that social impact's very important to you. What are your hopes for the Oracle NetSuite social impact over the next year?
Like many of the things, we haven't missed a beat across the transition. We have the same people running our social impact. It used to be called NetSuite.org. Now it's called Oracle NetSuite Social Impact. But the pillars of the program remain the same. Software donations to small nonprofits to help them grow. pro bono work from our employees to help them exploit NetSuite effectively, and offerings that help them implement quickly, starting with financials specifically for small nonprofits. It's going great. We have more grantees than ever. We have more employees doing pro bono work than ever. And we also have a very thriving business in the nonprofit vertical that really builds out of that. Some of these nonprofits grow to the size where they become significant customers, still with a discount. And that's really gratifying, just like in every industry when we see a company grow up on NetSuite. It's super exciting.
And how's the Bracker Foundation going?
Thanks for asking. There's amazing, amazing advances that have been made in precision and personalized medicine, and that's sort of what the BRCA Foundation is all about. Specifically for BRCA patients, ovarian cancer patients that have relapsed, that prognosis was typically quite poor, there are targeted therapies for BRCA patients, which is 15%+ of that population. And they're working really well, extending lives by years. We don't have durable cures yet, but we have remissions that are remarkable for women that maybe thought they only had a few months to live, living years. The impact of immunotherapy and then doing some of these combination therapies, which is obviously what was so successful with AIDS, is great. And the BRCA Foundation is playing its part, supporting research. I'm a big, big believer in partnering for nonprofits. Let's get the ships sailing in the same direction rather than having everybody kind of going willy-nilly. So that's been a big part of our strategy, is partnering with foundations like the V Foundation for Cancer Research. And it's a super, super exciting time. I can sense that from the researchers and the scientists. The road has been paved with what looked like cures and what looked like the silver bullet. And I don't know that there's a silver bullet, but it definitely seems like this notion of personalized care, because every cancer is different, unfortunately, is going to get amazing traction over the next few years. I'm just glad for us to be able to do a little part.
Have you added a third research institute as well in the last year?
We have actually partnered with the V Foundation last year, raised $7.5 million, and that went to some other institutions. Some did go to Harvard, some went to Penn. There's an amazing BRCA Research Center at Penn, and so we collaborated with them. We're very, very supportive of Harvard, Stanford, and UCSF, but we're looking at a somewhat more broad portfolio because we're partnering with these other charities.
Thank you very much, Evan.
Great. Thank you.